News Radio WJPF. We're on the line this morning at the train station. She's on her way to work this morning at her new job at the as the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. The interim director, Dr. Amal Tokars, is joining us this morning. Dr. Tokars, first, good morning. Hopefully you're going to get your train on time. We're not holding you up.
No, I'm good. Thank you, sir.
It's good to have you on this morning. Tell us a little bit about you, because until you were named interim director, really didn't know much about you. What's your background? Where'd you come from? Where'd you go to school?
Sure. Well, I have been the assistant director at the Illinois Department of Public Health. That's a quieter position, but that's what I've been doing there. And prior to that, I oversaw county public health. And I went to school at Northern Illinois University for my graduate and my doctoral work. And my undergraduate work was at a school called Lewis University, which was a private school.
All right. So it's good that you had that background with the IDPH, because with all the things that have gone on with COVID, I would think just somebody dropping somebody down in the middle of a Department of Public Health director's position who did not have experience and background over these past 2 years would have been a very hard slog for anybody.
Absolutely, yes. That's an understatement, yes. So fortunately or unfortunately, I've been involved with the pandemic and that response since the very beginning.
As interim director, people say interim. The fact is, you still got to run the ship, interim or not. And there's a lot that has to be done because we're playing catch-up right now. And I wonder about these areas of catch-up, because what I'm seeing personally is that delay in healthcare that's caused people to have more severe problems than they would had they gone to the hospital because they felt some discomfort early on, where they maybe waited a year or 2 years and found out there was a severe reason and it's progressed because they stayed at home, didn't seek mental health.
Yeah, so that is why it's so important now to really keep those hospital beds open and clear. Part of that is making sure then that is really a national push in every state to really help those hospitals keep those beds open by not having them filled unnecessarily with people that have COVID. And that's what we saw this winter. And we want to really keep that hospital capacity open so persons that have emergency and non-emergency needs to be in the hospital can be there and can get all their health needs taken care of.
When you look at this, there are indicators we're starting to learn more. There's a health assessment that was done prior to COVID here in Southern Illinois that I'm in the process of processing. But yesterday, reading Chicago Public Health, that Chicago saw their life expectancy drop. In 2019, it was 77.3. In 2020, 7.5. A 30% increase in the deaths there in Chicago. And they say, well, this is happening there. But the fact is, Dr. Tokars, I think there's probably a commensurate drop in life expectancy everywhere, except the percentages are so small, harder to detect. Those problems that exist in Chicago exist on some level everywhere.
Sure. What I would say is important to know as it relates to COVID is COVID became, as we look at the numbers that are finished now nationally for the state, looking at the year 2020, that's the first year of the pandemic when we got hit with it really hard. And COVID became the third leading cause of death overall, but for elders. It became the second leading cause of death, which is really notable considering all the things that an elder, meaning somebody in their 80s or 90s, all the physical health issues that they would be enduring at that time of life, but COVID became the second leading cause of death.
It's interesting, Chicago Public Health, those reports, you could say that about elders, but you could also say that about two minority groups that were hit in particular hard. And I think what we're talking about is financial abilities, poverty, and poverty exists in a great many people in Illinois. That's why I say I think this report from the Chicago Department of Public Health is telling about the rest of the state. Some of this stuff, Dr. Tokars, is kind of counterintuitive. You'd think when there's a stay-at-home order, you wouldn't see necessarily a jump in sexually transmitted diseases, but we did.
sexually transmitted diseases is something that has been unfortunately skyrocketing across the nation and across the state for years. And it certainly did not let up during the pandemic.
And, you know, it's counter. I wonder if I'm just not naive. I mean, have you ever thought that sexually transmitted disease increasing during a pandemic when you tell people to social distance and bars are closed, so some decision making is infected? Doesn't that seem a little counterintuitive to you?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. The pandemic was a great time of hardship, so we did see a number of difficulties increase during that time.
Now, one of those was fentanyl. We saw that increase too. This has really become a very large blip on the collective radar of health departments everywhere, and Illinois is no exception.
Yes. All across, now most health departments are not the ones that treat for that. As you know, there are providers that treat for that. But when we look out to see what's happening, we can see that this has substance use in general. It's really important to understand that has been going up for a number of years. We know that the opioid crisis struck us a few years ago, and that continued to increase during the pandemic. And another area of that, as you mentioned, that increased is specifically the fentanyl piece. But we saw, deaths from substance use, from alcohol, from cocaine, from prescription opioid, from heroin, and fentanyl-related deaths. But fentanyl is most notable during the pandemic. And that trajectory was increasing prior to that as well, as you may know.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Tokar. I was looking at a story on spring break in Florida, and one of the first responder teams used Narcan in one 24-hour period 230 times in one town.
Yeah, really can't speak for what's happening in Florida, but...
Well, I think it was an indicator of young people and the use of fentanyl when it comes to Narcan. That, you know, and there was even debate whether we should have first responders carrying Narcan. I think that's been cleared up.
It's the most worrisome trend and something that it needs attention for sure.
All right. So, because some of the items that you just discussed, they could easily go under the other heading that you have a very hard time quantifying. It's not like a broken bone where you can put on somebody an X-ray and say, okay, there's a bone broken. There's a blood test that tells this. There's no blood test for mental health. And this to me, doctor, mental health / suicide strikes me as being probably your most scary opponent as director of the Illinois Department of Public Health.
Yeah, so I know I've got 5 minutes left, and I'm glad you're bringing that up. I want to say a little bit about suicide and a little bit about mental health protective factors so that we can end on something hopeful. A very serious subject and something that is very important. So in 2019, that's the year before the pandemic, suicide in Illinois was the 12th leading cause of death. And in the first year of the pandemic, suicide in Illinois moved down to be the 15th cause of death. Suicide rates across the nation went down a little bit, and suicide rates in Illinois went down a little bit. And that does not surprise me at all. I would not expect to see them down, however, when we look at 2021 data, but doesn't surprise me at all that it went down in 2020. We see that when people are really focused on survival, sometimes people look to take care of themselves in other ways, even though we see these other contradictions that we've talked about. But suicide, despite that, is something that we're very concerned about and really want to pay a lot of attention to. Now, some protective factors that are really important for parents and individuals to know about. And there are many, but I'm just going to name five that you'll see commonly in the literature. One is strong relationships. So this doesn't mean many relationships. It doesn't mean being with lots of people. It means strong, high-quality relationships. Another one is academic commitment. It doesn't mean, and this is for young people, it doesn't mean that someone is an A student. It doesn't mean that they're at the top of their class. It means that they're working hard and they're really committed to it. And for an adult, it means committed to their family and committed to their work in the best way that they can. It doesn't mean that they're in a position of status. A third area is reconciled trauma. Most of us will have one or more truly traumatic events in our lives, and it's important that that is that we have ways to reconcile that. A fourth area is living that is free of abuse and violence, including self-abuse. So individuals that are exposed to a lot of substance use or exposed to domestic violence, this exposure is really, really unhealthy. But those that are in an environment that are free from that exposure, in their more intimate setting, will have that as a protective factor. So important for parents to know that.
All right, Doctor, here's something interesting I want to share with you because we've only got a couple of moments. I have the new suicide numbers for Southern Illinois in our region. In the United States, U.S., out of 100,000, 44.1. In the state of Illinois, it's 39.0. But in our region, in Southern Illinois, it's 49.6 per 100,000, above the state average by 10%, above the national average by 6%. That's disturbing for our region.
Yeah, some of the risk factors for suicide demographically are Caucasian, middle-aged men are some of our highest areas of risk, and elders, and rural areas.
All right.
So that's what you're bringing to light there. Now, the last protective factor that I want to mention to you is so important is competent and committed parenting. And I know we are out of time. The one last thing that you want to say before I go.
Well, I want to give you just a couple seconds. Can you tell me what is the most profound healthcare lesson is learned because of COVID?
I think that the most profound healthcare lesson that's been learned is really clear in the literature is the importance of vaccination. And we are really getting that message from hospitals that people that are unvaccinated and under-vaccinated are much more likely to end up in a hospital bed. And so that is one of the probably the largest lessons learned there.
Interim Director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Amal Tokarz, I'm looking forward to talking to you again when we've got a little more time, but I know I've got to let you go. Thank you for your time, Doctor.
Thank you, Tom. Have a beautiful day now. Bye-bye.